This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So thank you for being here on this evening as we continue through Holy Week. And headed towards Easter. On the office door I put, we're closed Thursday through Monday. See you on the other side of the resurrection. Tonight we encounter Jesus and his disciples in the most holy festival, this holiday of Passover, or Pesach as it is known in Judaism. And it commemorates the exodus of Egypt, the liberation from slavery in Egypt, the passing over of the forces of destruction, as we heard in our Old Testament reading from Exodus. This year, the Passover takes place from sunset on April 5th to nightfall on April 13th. So as we gather together tonight to remember Jesus eating, enjoying the Passover meal with his friends, our Jewish brothers and sisters around the world are celebrating their freedom from slavery. The holiday itself, as we hear in tonight's gospel, revolves a great deal around food and table fellowship. And for observant Jews, there are a great deal of preparations that are involved in preparing for Passover. And one rule that I learned more about just this week, one rule during this holy observance, is the forbiddance to eat any bread. Instead, the people are commanded to eat a special bread called matzah, special in that it is unleavened bread. Bread that is allowed to rise, or leavened bread, called hametz, is not allowed to be eaten during Passover. In fact, the Jewish people who observe this holiday are not even allowed to own hametz during Passover. It can't even be in the house. In fact, some households, as they prepare for this celebration, will play a game. And they hide whatever hametz they have left, and the children actually go search through the house for the forgotten hametz and to remove it from the premises before they can even begin their fellowship. But see, ultimately, the goal of this ritual is not to reject bread, so to speak. Jewish people love metaphor. Jesus spoke in parables and metaphor as a Jewish man. You see, ultimately, this ritual is not so much about rejecting bread, life as it is, but rather to remind us to renew our priorities. The removal of hametz, the leavened bread from our life, is a metaphor for all of those things that puff us up. Much like yeast puffs up while it ferments. The removal of hametz from our life is a metaphor for all of those things that puff us up, just as yeast puffs up bread to make it rise. And so this preparation for the Passover, this removal of this thing that puffs us up, is a call to return to a simpler sense of self. That simpler self that is solely dependent on God alone. Hametz is regarded as symbolic of an evil inclination. An evil inclination, or rather, that which encourages the worst aspects of ourselves. It's regarded as symbolic of those things that encourage the worst aspects of ourselves: fear, hard-heartedness. Those things that make us act less generously toward others. As well as those things that make us think negatively about ourselves. See, getting rid of hametz is then an attempt to quiet those voices, that evil inclination, whether it be directed at others or directed at ourselves. And when we quiet those voices, we can see with clarity who we truly are. And that is simply God's. So Passover, while it celebrates the liberation of the people of Israel from Egypt, it is about starting over, about getting back to the basics. It is about life unadorned, as I stand here in my beautiful robes. And Jesus takes this moment, understanding the sincerity of this moment of the Passover, understanding its tradition, understanding what it means to be bread for life. Jesus takes this moment and he himself unadorns and puts on the garments of a servant. Because you see, when we shed the ones who make themselves, when we become the servant, we don't have anything left to prove. When we become the servant, there is nothing to puff us up. When we take the mindset of the servant, we become holy gods. And Jesus is setting this example. He is taking this understanding of removing the hametz from our life, stripping away all of the things that life tells us we need to be and must be and have to be and need to do and have to do and must do, and saying the simplest thing, to love one another. This is where freedom comes from. And then it's easy. As Simon Peter is arguing with Jesus about whether or not it's appropriate for him to be washing his feet, Jesus doesn't care. Because when you strip away what the world asks and wants and desires and needs and calls for, our identities then become deeply rooted in something that is beyond appearances. What Jesus does here with his closest friends is deeply personal. Jesus has assumed the role of a servant, and he not only takes a stature and a vulnerability, but invites the disciples to ease themselves into vulnerability. By washing their feet. By washing their feet, which are no doubt abused and beaten and dirty and rough part of their body. And imagine this again as a metaphor to wash away those scars and calluses and wounded parts of our body. This is what Jesus wants for us. And it's in this vulnerability where Simon Peter is afraid to step into that vulnerability, afraid to open up those wounds for Jesus to see and to heal, afraid to let him see him in his bare feet, to take this position beneath him. And Jesus says, let it go. Maybe you don't understand today, but one day you will. You will understand the freedom that this can bring. This, my friends, is what Maundy Thursday is all about. For many of us, our deepest wounds may not have anything to do with our feet, but we can use our imaginations of what they might be. And that the point is, no matter what we think may be wrong with us,
that evil inclination of fear, of failure, of pain and sorrow, of negative self-reflection. Jesus says, the point is, no matter what we think is wrong with us, we are never too broken for God's love. We are never too broken for God's love. And that the way to heal is not to hide, but to open our heart. Tonight, we remember more than anything as the disciples would have sat and taken off their shoes and their dusty feet as they watched this man they had followed and loved do something incredibly active as a servant. Tonight, we remember that we are seen, all of us are seen, and every part of us are seen, that even with our pain and our scars and our wounds and the muck and the dirt that we carry around from place to place, those calloused edges that we just can't seem to smooth out, the calling of the world to succumb to the vanities and desires it says are good. Even all of that, we are loved. And it is in that place that Jesus invites us to be made whole.